This is a continuation of All Things Are Become New, Part 3. And we were reading in Romans 8, 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. We put ourselves in a position of being an enemy of God because our minds are focusing on and are immersed in the flesh. And there's no life and peace in it, as we read before in verse 6. The second part of verse 7 says, "For it is not," that's the carnal mind, "is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. For if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Again, it goes back to the Holy Spirit, how we're going to be able to live this new life, the newness of life through the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said would come when he ascended. Now let's look at that law that we're talking about. It's not subject, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. It won't submit to the law of God. The flesh is not going to submit. When we submit, we're not submitting our flesh, we're submitting to the Spirit when we're submitting to God. Let's go to verse 2 in chapter 8. And it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That is our complete release from the dominion of sin. But it also is our being no longer drawn and driven by the flesh. The carnal mind isn't subject to the law of God. The Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus is now our law. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life." It's the law for us now. Our law isn't the law of flesh, the law of sin and death. Our law is now the law of the Spirit of life. That is who leads us. That law and the lawgiver of that law is the Holy Spirit, who will order our steps, who will speak to our hearts, who will guide our minds, and who will direct our paths, if we but allow. Our victory is guaranteed through Christ and in Christ. If we are in Christ, and that means yielding to Him as people of God. We can't just say, "I'm a Christian because I confessed Christ and I believed in my heart God rose him from the dead, but I don't live in Christ." That does not make us Christians. The lip service nowadays of Christianity is horrific, is abhorrent. So many of those who claim they're in the body do not live for him. And is it any wonder that people who are unbelievers don't want any part of it? Yes, partly it's they don't want to give up their sin. That can be the case too. Yes, it can be stubbornness, rebellion on their part. But what's the great option that Christians in general are giving them? What are they seeing that's any different in the church than what they live themselves? That's the tragedy of this current age, the apostate age. But it doesn't mean we're hopeless. It doesn't mean we're helpless. It just means that's the reality we're in. We were born for such a time as this. Difficult, difficult time. And when I think back to the time of the early church and the horrific persecution, and there's horrific persecution occurring now in many parts of the world. But with it saying in the Roman times, and we always think of that as the extreme of being torn to shreds by lions and other beasts, how frightening, how horrid that would be, how terrifying. And yet they stood for their faith. We think on that, and then we think of, at least I do, the Laodicean age that we seem to be in the West, which is lukewarm, kind of Jesus is my little extra pocket knife, my little key ring, my little, you know, coffee mug. It's Jesus is cute mode rather than Jesus is Christ. And that needs to be addressed in the churches, and that needs to be addressed in our own hearts if that's how we are living. He is not an added extra. He is the all in all. God Almighty, whom gave all for us, that we would give all for him. Because he took all the old things, they are now passed away and they are no longer ours. And now we have become new. But not only must we believe it, we must live it. The struggle that Christians have, as the word discusses it and makes it incredibly clear, that there is the spirit that lusts after the flesh after the spirit. There's a fight, there's a conflict. But I think sometimes we use that as an excuse, the I'm only human excuse, to not aspire to what he asks us to be and what he can make us into. We don't have to be in a constant struggle for the rest of our lives, but we do have to have a commitment. Do we mean it? Just like if you're married, are you constantly struggling to be faithful? I mean, if you are, then there's lust in your heart and you need to ask God to cleanse you. It shouldn't be for your entire marriage. We shouldn't be running around part of the time with Christ, dedicated to him, and other times going, oh, well, you know, I'd rather do this. I'd rather indulge my flesh. Because we have to admit it then, it is a choice. And if all the old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, that means those things of the flesh that used to entice us, used to drive us, should be gone. And this isn't a guilt trip. This is saying, what's wrong? What is the issue? Why are we still living as if the old things are new, are still with us, are alive and well? He tells us over and over in the epistles, through Paul, through Peter, through James, we have to choose. Put away the old things. In James it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Lay it apart. Set it aside. Don't touch it. We're not to defile ourselves with that anymore. And with meekness, which is another way of saying with humbleness, receive the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. Do you know the word of God? If we read it, if we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in understanding, he's the translator. The Holy Ghost is the translator of his holy word. We have to ask him. It's his sword to wield. We have to ask him to interpret it for us. And that word will become life in our hearts. It's not just letters on a page. It's the living word written down for us. What a privilege. People have died for this word. Blood has been shed for this word to be translated in many, many languages all over the world, in different eras, different centuries, and even now. People die for this word because it's the word of God. It's not just a Bible. It's not just a book. It's the word of God. And there is an enemy that doesn't want the word of God released and disseminated and spread across the globe. He wants captives. If we read the word and we're diligent in our study of it, he says to study ourselves approved unto God, workmen, not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're meant to study. We're meant to dig in. We're meant to want to eat meat, not be on perpetual milk, so that we can be his fine and righteous ambassadors to a world completely gone wrong, that is suffering, that is in brokenness, that is in filth, that is hopeless. We have to polish ourselves as his instruments, being refined in our testing by our faith, being tested and becoming more precious than gold for him, in studying to make ourselves approved unto God, in walking worthy of the calling with which he's called us, in loving not our lives unto death, in living for him. This is what we're meant to do, so that we will be that light, that city on a hill for others to see, that they will say, I want what you have. Who is it that makes you like that? As Paul said in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let us allow the Spirit of God to bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God and that we are no longer shackled to our past or the old ways, but are free to live in liberty and the newness of life that Christ Jesus purchased for us with his blood and his life. Father, you know what a mess so much of the church is. Yes, there's an apostate church. And yes, there are many broken Christians. And yes, Lord, there are so many that are running around in circles and over and over and over again, chasing what will never fulfill. Lord, I pray, because we are one body, the true body of Christ. You say we are many members of one body and we are members one of another. Lord, as members one of another, I pray, Father, that you would shake us up, wake us up, cleanse us, heal us, strengthen us, and make us worthy of the calling of your dear Son, that we may live as new creatures in Christ Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name, for his sake, by his Spirit. Amen.